It's the Gadget Grill onto RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor. I am Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray.
And I'm Dee Willis. Dee, you come.
We've actually put a microphone in front of Dee this week, but we've done it by getting rid of Jeff for the week.
I know.
That's right.
Jeff's hot seat.
Yep. He escaped for the week. He's down in Melbourne.
Lucky.
And we'll talk more about what he's doing down there shortly. Yes, I know.
Excellent. Didn't know if you did.
Yeah. So, how have you been? What have you been up to, Jason? You've been out dog walking today.
Yes, I have two new additions to my house. We have two Dachshunds, and today we took them to Dachshunds in the Park in Sydney Park. We both have Galaxy S7 phones, and I took a lot of photos on the Galaxy S7 today, and they turned out really well.
We'll talk more about the S7 a little bit later in the show.
We will. We might talk about my Dachshunds as well.
We can talk about your Dachshunds now if you want to, because this is the time of the show that we talk about Dachshunds.
It's okay. They're doing well. They moved in recently, and they are lovely.
Dogs are lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually,
dogs are the best type of people.
Yeah. Unconditional love. Mm-hmm. That's what a dog gives you. Dee Dee, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, working as usual all week. That's normal.
Right.
The usual thing.
I also worked all week.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that.
That's the only four-letter word I don't know the meaning of.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I really do know the meaning of it this week. So, yes, I did that. And then on the weekend so far, well, not a lot, really. Watched a bit of TV.
Did a bit of shopping yesterday.
Yeah, that was,
That was exciting.
You say the weekend so far, like this is actually the end of the weekend.
I know.
Or it's a weekday if you are listening to the Tuesday.
If you're listening to the Tuesday.
So now I'm doing the Gadget Grill with you guys.
You are indeed. Mm-hmm. You are indeed. And you've got a break tomorrow. You're having the day off.
I am, and not by
choice.
No.
Stuff happens.
It does.
Stuff happens. Speaking of stuff happens, it's been a really, really, really sad week this week for those of us in the music industry.
Mm.
I get the feeling we start a lot of shows this way.
Yeah, I know.
We do.
It's really sad.
Well, the last
music industry is very sad this year.
It is. It's been, although the last couple of weeks we haven't had anything, but we more than made up for it this week with, in the last 24 hours, we had Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake & Palmer passed away. He was 71, wonderful keyboard player. The week started, well, let's see, earlier in the week we had John English. That was Thursday, if I recall correctly. Mm. Wednesday evening, the passing of Sir George Martin.
Mm.
And the week started with news of the passing of Ross Hannaford from Daddy Cool, amongst others.
I saw them in Canberra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome band, Daddy Cool. We're going to start off with what is probably their signature song. This is Ross Hannaford playing the riff in the lead to this. It is Eagle Rock.
Give me a sign, and we'll do the eagle ride.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill as we fade down that music while I'm talking. Thank you, Gary. This is the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM, 88.1 FM, and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Well done.
We are back with the news.
It is. You want to lead off with the news?
Sure.
I presume you've got something to have news.
I've got some kind of news. So, you know, Android is a lot of my technology. My technology focus is on Android, and it was actually a pretty big week for Android when you had the release of the Galaxy S7.
Yep.
But also we had the release of a new version of Android, which surprised everyone.
Right.
Android, the next version of Android is being codenamed as Android N. Google is not quite ready to tell everyone what N stands for yet. But they did drop an interesting cryptic hint in their announcement email. They said that they are not telling us what it stands for yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Nutella, you heard it first here on whatever it is we're on.
Oh, that was really good. So usually they release a new version of Google at their Google I.O. developer conference, which is in May. They are a couple of months ahead of the curve, and they say that they're trying to get it out there earlier so that more developers have a chance to get their hands on it and that more OEMs get a chance to get their hands on it before they release it for real later in the year.
Right.
Because there's been a spate of, despite Marshmallow being released, manufacturers releasing phones running Lollipop still. So I think they're trying to get ahead of that.
Right.
So there's a few big things in it. Well, there's a few big things. There's a few small things in it as well. But they allow you to stack notifications together. They can do split-screen mode on tablets, like the tablet that you're holding there, Gary. And so you can run multiple apps at once on the same screen. Sounds pretty cool.
Right. I've been able to do that on this one ever since I got it 2 years ago.
So, yes, that's something that Samsung's added in. So now it's officially a part of Android.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a couple of interesting security stories.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about security stories. This sounds interesting.
Okay. A guy by the name of Matthew Garrett went to a hotel in London for CubeCon, which is some sort of a conference. And the hotel that he stayed in had Android light switches.
Interesting.
Oh, yes.
Are they Android-controlled light switches?
Oh, yeah. Wait for it. The light switches, a couple of them, were using Android tablets that had an Ethernet cable connected into them.
Yeah, okay. So it was like the control panel on the wall to control the light switches.
Yeah, next to the bed there were Android tablets with Ethernet cables plugged in.
Hmm.
So he intercepted the Ethernet signals,
mm-hmm.
plugged in his laptop, and then he found that his room number in the hotel was 714.
Did he not know his room number?
Oh, he knew his room number.
Was it the same room number?
It was the same room number.
That's good.
And the IP address that he was communicating with was 172.16.207.14.
Interesting.
Oh, very interesting.
Hmm.
And yes, that's exactly what they were doing. And there was absolutely no security.
So could he control the lights in other people's rooms?
He could control the lights, not just in other people's rooms, but on other people's, in rooms on other floors.
Of course, yeah.
He had access to basically the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Isn't it awesome? No. Unless you happen to be staying in that hotel.
If you happen to be staying in that hotel and you get a spontaneous disco happening in your room.
He was able to control the lights, the TV, the curtains, all sorts of things. He had a word to the management of the hotel and they said they're going to do something about it. Believe that if you will.
They're just going to assign all the IP addresses to different things. So next time you connect to the 207.14 IP address,
you'll get a
random room.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, we've covered this sort of story once before, but this is actually starting to get serious now, and this is with internet-enabled devices in motor vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have found that A Spanish security researcher, Jose Carlos Norte, revealed that he'd used the scanning software Shodan to find thousands of publicly exposed telematics gateway units.
Oh. What's a telematics gateway unit?
Small radio-enabled devices attached to industrial vehicles' networks.
Oh, okay.
Basically, he's hacking into fire engines, ambulances, buses, trucks.
But was he hacking into them, or did he just discover them on the network?
Yeah, he could hack into them.
Did he?
He did not.
Okay.
But
well, I wonder if he really could.
Well, anyone can connect and interact with the device, but what really scares me is it's connected to the CAN bus of the vehicle.
Right, yeah, so that is an interesting possibility.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Once you're talking
it's party time.
once you're talking to the CAN bus of the vehicle, you can do anything within that vehicle with the engine management
anything
system.
Anything electronic.
Anything electronic, but the engine management,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Your windows, your electronic locks on your doors, everything.
How about the brakes? Because cars today are... electronic braking and electronic steering.
Yeah.
The steering on my Mercedes, on the new Mercedes, is all drive-by-wire.
So what's he going to do about it?
He's just alerting people to this for the time being, and this is not a good thing.
No, it's not. I have something that is a good thing.
Go for it.
Do you like 4K content?
I do. I don't have any, and I haven't seen much.
Do you like 8K content?
I think I saw this story. Go ahead.
So the Olympic Broadcasting Services have announced that they are going to be making select events at this year's Rio Games available in VR and in 8K, probably not at the same time. I think they were very specific about the 8K. They're going to be doing the opening and closing ceremony, obviously, and swimming.
That would be good in VR.
Well, so 8K first, swimming, judo, yes. athletics, basketball and football. There's going to be about 130 hours of 8K content if you're in Japan.
Okay.
If you're outside of Japan, you don't get the 8K content, but they are mastering it to 4K for comparison purposes.
Right.
So they weren't very specific about the VR side of things, but you would have to imagine, come on, the opening and closing ceremonies in VR. That's got to be a shoo-in,
absolutely.
If not, some of the, I'm sure people in the crowd will be starting to take their own 360 cameras and film it for you.
The bad news is... that for those of us
not
in Australia, no. The bad news is for those of us in Australia, we do not have any sort of a network that will support that sort of a content.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah,
not at all. There was a possibility that we might have had one, but there was an election a couple of years ago. Now Jeff is in Melbourne this week.
Yes, he is,
and he's attending an event in HP's content center. And he sent us a little...
He sent us a report. It's so nice of him.
He sent us a report. It is very nice of him. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Jeff's mum. This is what Jeff had to say.
G'day, guys. Back in the studio. I am in Melbourne, of all places, at the HP Experience Centre, and I've just been witness to a fashion show. Now, it sounds completely untechnology-related, but Nixie has developed this whole new range of fashion, and she's been working with HP using the HP Sprout. Now, the HP Sprout is a really interesting product. It basically allows you to take something physical, scan it to make it digital, and then turn it into something physical again, literally. So what Nixie's been doing with her new range is taking fabrics, paintings, all sorts of different materials that she'd use with during her creative process, scan them in, start to make these amazing and vibrant designs.
Just
and so today we've actually seen them parade down the line as well. So the fashion is nothing that I would probably wear, probably nothing that you would wear, Gary or Jason either.
Yes,
but
they would.
Honestly, it's extremely bright and vibrant. Imagine Katy Perry on crack. That's really what you're going to get a good idea
I can't
of.
Imagine
now,
that.
Will we see it in stores? Who knows? But the biggest thing we're getting from this, especially for our show as well, guys, is the way they've applied technology, the way they're now using a different medium to create this whole new range of products. The way I'm looking at it is imagine when they didn't have sewing machines and then the sewing machine came out, the impact that had on what they could do with design, what they could do with production, the whole lot has changed. Now, we spoke to Nixie as well, and the things that she was basically telling us was this has enabled her to be more productive. When she has a painting, literally still wet, that she's designed, she scans that in, makes it digital, and is then able to put it onto fabric later on. I mean, it's a huge, huge change in the market. So
fantastic.
There was a whole lot of other things we spoke about. Not all of it made sense because some quotes, for example, was that she discovered Vectors, a book of dreams. Everything was resonating rhythm. They may not mean a lot to us, but they mean a lot to designers. And The HP Sprout has really changed her line, and she was completely thrilled with it. And it's the first time I've seen it. It's a cool product. I scanned a glass of wine, and I could actually 3D model it on the screen.
I bet
you
didn't drink it.
That was kind of cool. So back to you guys. Enjoy the rest of the show. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, so that's the HP Sprout. He was in Melbourne, not in Brussels.
Ah.
The Sprout is actually pretty interesting. It's been around for a while. They took a little while to bring it to Australia, but it sounds like they're definitely pushing it here now.
Mm. Absolutely. Sounds now, good. Jason, where you work, do they have an internal messaging app so that you can have internal chats with other people in the system?
No, we just use we actually just use Hangouts.
Okay, cool. How careful are you with what you say within that system?
Not really an environment that people feel like they need to be careful with.
Interesting. Because there's a court case that's been going on in America, of course.
Where America is home to all the best court cases. Let's be honest. I've seen two.
Where a guy by the name of Terry Jean Belaya has been is suing Gawker for $100 million for posting
like
a sex tape of the performer.
A sex tape.
Now, Terry Jean Belaya is probably better known as Hulk Hogan, the wrestler.
I was going to say that name does sound familiar.
Yeah,
and I also don't know why anyone would want to watch that tape.
It may have to be an old tape. Yeah. God, you wouldn't want to watch him now.
Included in evidence are at least 32 pages of campfire chats, which begin with the "We're about to post the Hulk Hogan sex tape," followed by a series of jokes, including one about a tender leg drop. And I won't mention some of the other ones that are here because this is a family show.
I think this is terrible news, actually.
Well, it's terrible. Well, the thing is, though, that...
No, I mean, like, the news that there's a Hulk Hogan sex tape out there is terrible
news.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's only one, a couple of things I could think of worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
The Katy Perry on crack tape. Sorry, Jeff.
Isn't that just normally Katy Perry?
No, that's normally it. How about the Donald Trump sex tape?
Anything with Donald Trump?
Yeah, anything with Donald Trump.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. The basic idea here is that, you know, this, the chat.
So it's internal chat.
It's internal chats, which is replacing the chat that you would have had around the water cooler years ago.
And it does create a digital record. And so if you are having a conversation that could be somewhat seditious with other employees, you should be careful.
You should be
be careful because, like, you are at work, you are using work-provided equipment, and you're using their network. So don't think that anything you do or say on equipment at work is actually private.
Right. More news.
More news? Okay, cool. Let's go with... I got one. Intel has announced this week that it's acquiring an Israeli firm called Replay. And Replay is a company that has been using technology to start to create virtual reality sports coverage.
Oh.
Now, this is a story that I would have passed over.
I think that we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago.
No, because they acquired them this week.
Okay, I saw something about this a couple of weeks ago.
So this might be why, but I would have passed over this story if it wasn't for the demo that Intel gave at CES where they used
CSS.
We didn't.
No?
No, but I'm thinking that this is probably what Intel is going to use to power its vision for virtual reality and sporting entertainment.
Right.
Because they gave a demo at CES which was a particular NBA game where they'd use their RealSense cameras in order to do it and interpolate the sort of moments in between so you could move the camera around. But it sounds to me like Replay has a bit more of a handle on this than Intel, so interesting that they've acquired them.
Very. Yeah. Mm. Technology does not stop. That should do us for the news today.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, this week we lost John English.
We did. It was terrible.
Yes. This is Turn the Page.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, can listen to the engine moaning out its one-note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing there to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Oh, didn't she do that well?
Yes, it was very good.
So it's considering good. I haven't done it for quite a while.
Indeed, indeed. It's a well-studied, practiced art.
It is.
Okay, it is time for our first feature here on tonight's Gadget Grill, on today's Gadget Grill, and we're going to talk Samsung Galaxy S7, which was available for you to walk into a store and buy on Friday. And I know a few people who did actually go and do that.
I know a few people who've pre-ordered it.
I know someone who actually went into a store and bought one.
Mm-hmm. My advice to them would have been to pre-order it the day before and get the free Galaxy Gear. But
well, he got the Galaxy Gear as well, this particular person, and he bought a couple of other bits and pieces as well. Hang salary on. Sacrificed it, and he's getting quite a good deal. He's quite happy.
So this is, of course, Samsung's new Galaxy S flagship. They release one each year.
Yes.
It's a little bit early this year, and it's a little bit more expensive than last year. The base price for the standard Galaxy S7 is $1,150.
Yep.
That's a lot of money, isn't it? North of $1,000. Last year it was just under.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By way of comparison, what does the current iPhone cost?
I think your phone probably costs exactly the same.
Yeah. So it is in that realm in terms of the price.
Yeah, so
that doesn't
make it okay to me.
No.
But, yeah, as a phone, it's stunning.
It absolutely is. I got mine on Wednesday, and I've been playing with it ever since then. And I have got to say that there's a number of things about this phone that have impressed me. Mm-hmm. First of all, the fingerprint sensors that allow you to turn it on and keep it secure, with every other phone that I've had, and this is my third phone so far this year, and we would each use half a dozen different phones minimum during the year, probably a fair bit more. And last year, the year before, I've tried fingerprint sensing, and it's been frustrating because nine times out of ten, you're not using it. Mm-hmm. The fingerprint sensing, the software, the way the whole thing works on the S7, it is just magic. It just works.
It's great. It works really well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what angle you put your finger on. With me, I'm finding that it just works.
And some of the apps. So in the past, Samsung's had its own fingerprint sensing API because Android only added support to it this year.
Right.
Support for it this year. But there's a bunch of apps that already support Android's fingerprint sensing, and they work fine on it as well.
Yeah, I haven't set any of them up as yet, but
I've got LastPass.
Well, I was going to say,
LastPass is fantastic.
LastPass works with it, and there's quite a few others. The camera.
Now,
I'm a photographer, and the next segment of the show, we're going to talk specifically about a couple of different cameras. But for a phone camera, and Jason, you know what I think of phone cameras, or what I used to think about phone cameras.
I know.
the uh, the camera in the S7 has just blown me away. Its low light performance is wonderful. The resolution is superb. It is, again, it just works as a camera should.
I really have great confidence if I'm experiencing something and I want to take a photograph of it, more than any phone in the last year, except perhaps the Galaxy S6. This phone gives me the confidence that I can whip it out of my pocket, double tap the power button, and by the time I get that camera up to my eyes, it will be ready to take a photo.
Absolutely.
So many other phones, they're really slow to launch their camera. They just don't get that when you need to capture a moment, in that moment, you need a reliable camera that can actually launch quickly.
Instant.
Yep. What other features have you found interesting or exciting?
Well, I think we should talk about the build quality of it, because frankly, I purchased my own Galaxy S6 last year. So the S6 that I've been using for the last year has actually been my own. And this, the Galaxy S7, makes the Galaxy S6 look like a proof of concept. It reduces it to the level of child's toy. And we were super impressed with the build of the Galaxy S6 last year. So that is no mean feat. But Everything this year is just that much tighter. The phone is actually ever so slightly larger. It's a little bit thicker than the Galaxy S6, and it's a little bit heavier. But none of that actually matters when you put it in your hand. It's got this lovely curve on the rear glass that makes it sit very well into the palm of your hand. And the metallic frame of the phone, because Samsung has started using metal in their phones over the last 18 months, the metallic frame of the phone, it's fantastic. It joins the glass. There's no sharp edges or anything on this.
Well, we don't have an S7 Edge in the studio, but with the standard S7 that we each have, I'm just looking at mine, and it's got the glass covering the whole of the front surface. And that just looks so nice and smooth, and just so, as you say, for the finish, it's just wonderful. The aesthetics of it are just superb.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that the S6 did not have, two things that the S6 didn't have last year was waterproofing, and it did not have the ability for micro SD. Both of those issues have been addressed in the S7. It's now it's interesting because the problem that I created when I took my phone swimming on Christmas Day last year.
The reason your A6 died.
Yes. Totally user error. And exactly the conditions that I subjected the S6 to, the S7 is designed to withstand.
Absolutely.
So
I think it's fantastic that this phone is waterproof. You're not, like, say, well, sorry, we should actually be using the right word, right? It's not waterproof. It's water resistant, and
IP6.
It's IP68 rated.
Yes, IP68.
So the 6 is dust, and the 8 is water.
Yep.
And so the idea is that it can withstand. I think it's a meter of water for 30 minutes. You're not supposed to apply. You're not supposed to shoot it with a pressure hose or anything like that. Like,
but if you accidentally jumped in the swimming pool with it, it'll survive.
Yeah. It's intended to survive accidents like that. Mm-hmm. As long as your swimming pool is not salt water, it will survive. Because that is part of the IP rating, is it's fresh water, not salt water. Really, just don't go throwing it in water to test waterproof or water resistance.
No. But it's not recommended, but
It will survive if you pull it out in a rainstorm to call a cab.
Battery life
was one of the worst aspects of the Galaxy S6. For the Galaxy S7, it's amazing. It's such a breath of fresh air. I used to be able to knock 20 to 30% off my phone before I even got to work in the morning. This thing, about 10 to 15 at most.
Exactly.
That's good.
It's lasted. We were talking about this last weekend. So we did have a Galaxy S7 with us last week, but we weren't allowed to say anything because we had an embargo. But so last week, I really smashed it on Sunday, and I got about 10 and a half hours of battery life with 4 hours of screen on time. Now, I don't actually look at my phone for 4 hours a day. That you actually have to push it a lot to get that 4 hours.
Yeah.
And with that, and so I got about 10 hours of battery life out of that, and it finally conked out at about 7:30 at night.
Right. Now, the last thing I want to mention on the phone is the sound quality.
So the internal speaker.
The internal speaker. It is a tiny speaker, as you expect from this sort of device.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. No one's putting massive speakers in them.
Absolutely. Mm. But I was playing some music through it yesterday, and I thought, that does not sound too bad. And yeah, over dinner this evening, I demonstrated it to you, and the sound quality and the sound volume coming out of this little speaker, it is really quite surprising, quite good. It's certainly not hi-fi. I certainly wouldn't expect it to be hi-fi.
It's a mono speaker as well.
But for what it is, I am very, very impressed.
Yeah. It is a bottom-firing speaker. It's not front-facing, and it's also not rear, which is what Samsung's done for a long time. Yep. I would personally really like to see them finally embrace front-facing speakers.
Absolutely.
They've toyed with it on a couple of their tablets, but I think it's time they put the technology into their phones.
Yep. All in all, this is probably one, I don't know about you, Jason, this is probably one of the best phones that I've ever used.
Definitely. I definitely agree. The only part that gives me pause in recommending it is that it's so expensive.
I know.
It is a high-end phone. I would say if you are looking to renew your contract, maybe consider getting one of these phones on contract because it will last you 2 years.
Yes.
But if you're looking to buy a phone outright, you should probably reconsider.
Okay. Now, listen very carefully. What was that?
Psycho or something.
Psycho, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As I mentioned at the start of the show this week, we saw the passing of Sir George Martin.
Oh, right.
George Martin.
Did he do that?
No, he didn't. Oh. But George Martin was a classically trained musician.
Yes.
As well as the guy who produced all of the Beatles' hits. And it was that clip from the shower scene in Psycho, the movie Psycho, the Hitchcock movie Psycho, that influenced how he put the strings together for the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby. Listen, you'll hear it.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Jason has taken over as producer for the last 30 seconds, for the current 30 seconds. Yes. Yes, you did. Photography. A couple of announcements this week in the photographic realm. Canon announced a new camera, and they announced
it's a new body shape, isn't it?
It's not.
Is it just an upgrade?
That's just a new style of camera body for them. And a smartphone app as well. I'm just trying to find it here.
I hope they I hope their smartphone app can actually do the things that you've had to get a USB connection to the computer to do for a long time now.
That's exactly where they're heading with this.
Good.
That's exactly, yeah, here we go.
A remote shutter via your smartphone app would be an excellent idea instead of making me buy extra equipment. Thank you, Canon.
They've got a new printer, and they've got the 1300D, which they're touting as being a beginner's camera, beginner's DSLR.
All right.
It's interesting how that number goes up. It used to be 550D and then 650D, now it's 1350. Like,
inflation.
Inflation.
I'm waiting to get one of those cameras from Canon. I've asked them for one, and I'm hopeful that we'll have one fairly soon. As you know, of course, I'm a photographer. I've only been involved in photography for around about 45 years, so I don't know too much about it. And a few years ago, about, I guess, 10, 12 years ago, I was saddened when the Minolta brand name, well, first of all, Minolta and Konica, who were two quite respected names in the photography industry, were merged, and then the Minolta brand, which is what they then became, was acquired by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and a lot of photographers were very worried about what Sony might do with the brand. Sony are very good with what they do, but they didn't have the heritage that Minolta did in the photography industry. They didn't have the respect, the same sort of respect that Nikon has, that Canon has, that Olympus has. And since that time, we've seen lots of statements come out from Sony saying how they're going to change things and they're going to start taking photography seriously.
Well, they've had their Alpha range for a number of years. But did that actually come out of that purchase? Or that, had that
came
before?
Out of that purchase, and the lenses and so on are, you can see the lineage from the Minolta range. But in all of this time, Sony have been saying that they want to be taken seriously in the photography realm, but nobody really took them at their word because they weren't producing some of the things that a photographer needs. When you go into single-lens reflex photography, your investment is not in the camera. It is in the lenses that you buy and the lenses that you can use. It is the glass that you use that helps make the photos. And you'll replace your body every couple of years and your lenses will be with you for a long time. Dee, you've seen how many times I've changed my bodies with cameras.
And the lenses just keep staying there.
And some of the lenses that I've had for 35, 40 years. The lenses that I have go back to the late 80s. In fact, the current crop of lenses, some of them, not all of them, but the oldest lenses that I have there, the 24mm, the 70 to 210, they date back to the late 1980s. Mm.
So what's Sony been doing with their lenses?
Sony have brought out a new camera body
and
some new lenses. And the lenses that they've brought out are what they're calling their G Master series.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a 24 to 70, a 70 to 200, and an 85mm. Now, the 24 to 70 and the 70 to 200 are f2.8 fixed aperture lenses, and the 85mm f1.4, my favourite lens that I use whenever I'm shooting, is my 85 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically have the opinion that if you can't get a good photo with this lens, sell your equipment to somebody who can. It is that good a lens. It is beautiful.
So Sony released a new version of this lens?
Well, Sony have released their version of these lenses, and whether you're talking Nikon, whether you're talking Canon, these are lenses that form a part of every professional photographer's kit, pretty much.
And so did they not have this lens before?
Not this style, no. Not at this level of quality. They had an announcement this week. They had an event on Thursday evening, which we went to. I was able to have a play with these lenses, and these lenses felt every bit as good as what you play with when you're using Nikon or Canon gear. Mm. This was up to that standard. And it was these lenses, looking at them, along with one of the new bodies, that said to me, finally, that Sony are getting serious with addressing the needs of a pro photographer, and they're finally doing what they should have been doing 10 years ago.
So they've come up with the goods now. They've finally
come up with the goods. I've asked Sony for review units of this sort of stuff, and I'm hopeful of getting it fairly soon, so we shall see what happens. The camera body that they have is the Alpha 6300, and what they've done is something that all of the camera manufacturers should have done 15 years ago, which is cover the sensor with focusing sensors. And so that means that wherever your subject moves in the frame, you will have a focusing sensor there to help you follow focus. So that is great.
Good.
Okay. Music. More Sir George Martin, more Beatles. And from the Sgt. Pepper's album, which a lot of people consider to be probably one of the best albums ever of the 1960s, this is A Day in the Life.
Seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Wonderful sounds of the Beatles there, as produced by Sir George Martin. That has been the Gadget Grill for this week. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's show. We'll be back next week with more of it. Yeah, absolutely.
See you next week.
We'll enjoy it next week too.
Yeah, indeed we shall.
Goodbye.
Okay.
And good luck, and also stop doing that.
Yeah, whatever it is I'm doing.
Not you.
Oh, okay. To wind up this week's show, we're going to listen to the same piece of music, A Day in the Life, written by the Beatles. This is Wes Montgomery, a very different arrangement.
Oh,
take
yeah.
care.